joining us tonight on Christmas Eve. It is a real joy and privilege to be with you all. And I do notice that there are a number of extended family that have joined us and are coming back maybe home or visiting folks here in the Manchester area. So welcome back home on behalf of Trinity Covenant Church. We're so glad that you are here with us. I wanted to share briefly tonight a little bit more of a reflection. I did have a chance to preach earlier this morning, and so that was all fine and dandy. And I've had a chance to reflect a little bit more, and so I want to share with you a message tying in a series that we walked through together as a church family called The Places of Christmas, and we end with Christmas at home. Before we jump into that, I did want to repeat something that I shared earlier at our morning service, which was that we are going to embark on a community project, which is to try to read through the entire Bible, cover to cover, as a church community starting on January 1st. And so whether you call yourself a Christian or not, the Bible's a pretty significant book. And I know I need more of it in my life. And I often struggle in the craziness of raising three school-age kids and trying to pastor a church like Trinity and my love to veg out and watch movies and TV. It's always a battle. And so I need encouragement and accountability. And so our church will be embarking on a one-year journey. And so if anyone would like to join us, we will be using the YouVersion Bible app that is probably one of the most well-used, most popular Bible apps. And if you download that and send an email to Brian Wiley, B. Wiley, at trinitycovenantchurch.org, he will send you a link. You'll be looped in to a group reading project, and we will actually read from Genesis to Revelation this year. And I informed my kids after service that we will be doing this together, and they were filled with mixed feelings. We'll put it like that, okay? So I'm going to have to reward them big time with $100 gift certificates to Chick-fil-A, something like that each, if we can make it through the Bible. But that's something I just want to also reiterate from this morning, and for any of us, even if Trinity is not your home church, even if you aren't a Christian, we'd love to invite you to journey, to discover who God is and who is this person behind the Christmas story. And so I wanted to just repeat that tonight. I wanted to share a few thoughts as we prepare to sing, and as many of you are looking forward to lighting the candles, as I also enjoy. Just one verse we'll open up with to get started, John 1:14. John 1:14, and I'll go ahead and read that, and that'll be right up on the screen. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Here in New England, we're anxiously awaiting the snow. My kids are very disappointed that there isn't snow yet. And as we get a little bit colder and the temperatures begin to dip, there is nothing more inviting than a camp. Well, White Christmas too, we're waiting for that. But a warm campfire. Do we have any campfire people? Yes. New England people, yes, for sure. Campfire. One professor reflecting on the power of the campfire wrote this: evening conversations around fire largely involve telling stories, reminiscing about the day of the or the distant past. Fires tend to focus attention on the immediate venue and moment, thus helping to enhance one's interaction with others rather than pulling attention to an outside source. There's something about the warm glow of a fire, especially on a cold New England night, that brings you in and engages all your senses. It is a sensory experience. And I would like to propose that life often happens around campfires. As we relax, as we're warmed by its flames and the heat that's generated from it, and as we begin to share stories, I do believe that often life happens around fires. Scientifically, fires even lower your blood pressure. Another good reason to enjoy a good fire this winter. And as I reflect on the power of a fire, a campfire that glows and draws people in, and stories begin to be shared, and the past is remembered, and future dreams are shared, I often think that Christmas time is analogous to God's campfire that burns brightly for all to be warmed by its flames. And so as we think about the holiday season, it truly is in the midst of the craziness. I am the king of last-minute procrastination, and I woke up at 4 this morning to wrap up my children's Christmas gifts. I got it done. And so that's how I did it this Christmas. But in the midst of the craziness, it truly is one of the most special times of the year. And whether you are a Christian or not, you can gather around this campfire, and as it warms us during the holiday season, it's some of the best times of the year. The gatherings, the parties, the meals, oh boy. One of my favorite stories growing up was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I did a little research on this well-known, beloved story, and it was actually written as a coloring book for a company, this is a blast from the past, Montgomery Ward's, 1939. Has anyone ever shopped at a Montgomery Ward's? All right, I did as well. But it wasn't until 1964 in this stop-motion movie, an animation that was made based upon Robert May's book, this coloring book that was to keep children busy as their parents shopped at Montgomery Ward's. And I wanted to share this with my youngest son, James, and I thought for sure he'll last about 20 seconds because it's stop motion. It's very abrupt, broken, and I said he'll last about 20 seconds, but I got to show him one of my favorite stories. And after about a minute, I was about to shut off, "Daddy, no, this is nice." And we ended up watching the whole thing to the end. It was awesome. You know, those are some of the moments as families, as parents, as grandparents, that you treasure during these holiday times, that you won't forget. And those are the times that we live for. I believe that God's campfire burns brightly in our world during this time for all to enjoy. It is indeed one of the most special seasons of the year. But as we are gathered together on this Christmas Eve, let me propose to you that as wonderful as this season is in our lives, my question is, in the midst of the presents, the meals, the music, the lights, my family will hop on an airplane in a few hours. We'll get to Hartford Bradley about 4 this morning, or this coming morning. and head back to Chicago, where we're from, to enjoy a week with our extended family. I'm already trying to loosen my belt of all the meals I'm going to have with family and friends. It's going to be wonderful. In the midst of this holiday season, as God's fire burns bright, my question I just want to propose to you tonight is there something more? Is there a joy that runs even deeper than the best of this season? Christian author C.S. Lewis reflected on this, and he wrote that these moments of life, the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have not heard, news from a country we have never yet visited. As we think about the joys of this season, perhaps we begin to raise questions. Is there something more than even the best of what this life has to give us? And so, let me just put this thought into your mind. We can put it to the next slide. Does it get better than this? The best time of the year? Is there a joy greater than this? I'd like to propose that unequivocally there is. The story within the Bible and the person of Jesus Christ will always be connected with the story of true joy. And as we've heard, even as our lovely couple was reading the Advent readings and the candle lighting tonight, joy is the theme that is so connected with the true story of Christmas because of Jesus. Luke 2, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This morning we alluded to a man named Simeon who, near the very end of his life, as the decades passed, he's waiting for the Savior to come, finally beholds Jesus. And now he said, I am now ready to die. Lord, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. Even the kings, the Magi who came to bestow gifts upon this infant Jesus, were so filled with joy, they would never forget it for the rest of their lives. And so this evening, as we reflect on one of the most wonderful times of the year, as family and friends get together over wonderful holiday festivities and meals, and as we gain weight together joyfully this season, as God's campfire burns brightly across the globe, inviting people in to experience true joy, my question once again is there something more to the joy of this Christmas season? And I would like to say yes. In the familiar story, true story of Blaise Pascal, that 17th century math genius, scholar, scientist, inventor, who even in all the accomplishments of his life as a mathematician, reflecting on an experience that he had, November 23rd, 1654, it's the word fire. And you guys have heard this before, fire. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not of the philosophers and scholars. Certainty, certainty, feeling, joy, peace. The fire of God's common grace was all over Pascal's life. But one day he had an encounter with this God, and the fire began to burn within him. And listen how he responded. I know children are here tonight, so I'll put it gently. A mask at his departing was created. And look at his face. And he wrote, "My God and your God, joy, joy, joy. Tears of joy, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. May I never be separated from him." The testimony of one who was brought so close to the fire of God, the fire entered within, and he was transformed forever. I reflected on another person in history, a guy named John Wesley, who was a Methodist preacher from England in the 1700s, who had a tremendous impact in our world. And yet, shockingly, John Wesley had a lot of struggles and doubt about the genuineness of his faith, even in the midst of preaching the gospel all over the world. He even came here to America to preach as a missionary to the Native American Indians. And he had so much doubt about the genuineness of his faith. He returned back to England, and he happened upon a service, and someone, the most boring thing that you could read, Martin Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. Talk about boring, put me to sleep right now. But as he began to hear an explanation of the power, the fire, the warmth, and the love of God, in his own words that some of us are familiar with, "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation. And an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." For 57 years, John and his brother Charles Wesley would write love songs about God called hymns. 3 hymns per week for a total of 6,500 songs about the love of God. John would preach as a fire burned within, 40,000 sermons. Good Lord, I'm tired. But today being just my second one, God help me, 40,000. And he would ride on horseback 250,000 miles, enough to circle the globe 10 times along the equator, preaching the gospel. Have you ridden on a horse? It's not easy. But something happened when the fire of God entered into him. He made an incredible impact. And so as we gather here on this Christmas Eve, may we take a moment to examine ourselves. And may we hear Paul's challenge to young Timothy, his protege, 2 Timothy 1, 6-7. "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." These past couple of years have been very brutal as we've been through COVID together in our communities, in our families, in our schools, in our churches. And in that disconnection that so many of us experience, we have learned to appreciate one another, have we not, in the beauty of friendship, family, fun, and good food? And tonight, I just want us to take a moment to examine, in this next picture, which one would picture more of where your heart is tonight. For some of us, that flame has almost died out. And how important it is on this Christmas Eve that we can encounter Christ again and be called into family and into community, that we can burn brightly together once again. We have that opportunity as we've gathered here, as we've heard God's word, and as we return to experience the joy and the love and the power and the gifts of God that he pours to all of us who are a part of this global community. And as you do that, and as you experience Christmas tomorrow morning, I pray that the fire of God will burn brightly within your lives as you take time to reflect on perhaps where you might be in your relationship to God. I'll end with this very familiar story that I heard growing up as a youth group student from my youth pastors, and doing a little bit of a deeper dive continues to blow my mind away. Many of you know what this monument is. It is World War I's Christmas truce, when the fighting paused for the holidays. You guys are familiar with the story, are you not? For 5 months after the start of World War I, in the muddy trenches on the Western Front, in what is today Belgium, we know that both the British and the German were at odds with one another, gunning each other down, slaughtering one another. And in the midst of this, on Christmas Eve, they began to hear the faint song in the background of what? Silent Night. And as the song began to be sung, the British troops stopped the fighting. They began to join in. Many movies, stories, books have been written about this. And I was fascinated by some of the actual pictures from the truce during this Christmas Eve. When troops started, once fighting stopped on this Christmas Eve, they even played soccer together when they were earlier killing one another on the bloody battlefields of Europe. How amazing. Why is that? It was this song that the Germans began to sing. For 2 days, they experienced this peace that Pastor Theo prayed about. And the words that we're about to sing in just a moment: Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. You see, it is only the Prince of Peace that when he says, peace be still, even during the war to end all wars, fighting would stop. The Prince of Peace would bring his joy and peace even in the darkest of circumstances. If he can do that on the bloody battlefields of World War I, what could the Prince of Peace do in your life if we let that fire in? Let us not just enjoy the wonderful warm gifts of the season. Do enjoy them. But as you enjoy the best of this year in this holiday season and Christmas, ask yourselves, could there be something more? And as you're warmed by the good gifts of God and your family and friends and festivities, ask yourselves, would I be willing not just to be warmed by the fire, this campfire of God for our world that all of us can enjoy, but what would it be like to let the fire in within, and the Prince of Peace to dwell inside your own heart? I'll end with this final verse, John 1, 4 through 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the hope and promise of God for a hurting and broken world. I pray that this would give us great encouragement as you enter in to one of the most special days of the year. Let's pray together. Jesus, we want to thank you for all the wonderful things that we will experience this holiday season. As your campfire glows and warms all, we give you thanks. And in the midst of enjoying the beauty and joy of the festivities, I pray that we could take a moment to step back and ask ourselves, is there something more? I pray that as Paul has challenged young Timothy to rekindle that flame for those of us like a Wesley who may be struggling and doubting and are fatigued and wondering, in the midst of serving God, where are you? May you rekindle that flame. And like a Pascal who didn't know who God was, in the midst of all the great things that he did, his life was forever changed when the light and the fire and the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ entered and burned brightly within. I pray, Lord, that as we enjoy the great gifts, that you will pour upon us this wonderful season. I pray that we would consider the question, is there something more? May we let the light and the fire and the peace of God enter into our hearts in the person of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.